From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
See, in the kingdom of God, there's going to be problems. In fact, one of the most universal elements that I find common to all growing churches is problems. Why? Because it's filled with fallen people. I mean, look around. We're all fallen people. The ones on the left or right might be more fallen than you are, but we're all fallen people. And because we're all fallen creatures, God is redeeming us. Now listen, we may be redeemed, but we're not necessarily perfect. How many of you would agree?
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Do you ever look at a young person and say, he looks just like his dad, or she looks all over mom? Well, did you know that when we are born into the family of God, little by little we begin to take on His likeness as we grow and mature in our Christian walk? The Bible says from glory to glory we are changed into His image. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with a message entitled, In Our Redeemer's Image.
I want to talk about God's DNA, God's modus operandi, His MO, who He is, His character, that He's a redeemer. But in order to introduce that, let me just do this with you. I've got here a flashlight. Now, this is a manually operated flashlight. You don't see too many of these. It takes a little handle here, and just by doing this with your hand, it converts this type of movement into a little generator, and it makes a light come on. Check this out. Watch this. Huh? Pretty good. This is a color. Portuguese flashlight. Not bad, huh? Now, see what? Oh, tired now already. Sorry. But what it does is it takes a little movement like this and converts it or redeems what would have been just useless or limited movement into something that can produce light in the darkness. Now, a lot of the inventions today all have to do with converting something that would otherwise be useless or lost, limited, and redeeming it into something far more useful and beneficial. A hydroelectric dam. Instead of just water running aimlessly to the sea, they harness that, convert it, or redeem what would have been just lost, and they put it into something of higher usage. Take a windmill that redeems a windy day into electricity that would light and heat a whole village and possibly save thousands of lives due to generating heat, saving thousands of lives from freezing to death during the dead of winter. Now, we developed something on our houses that you see on some rooftops called solar panels. It takes sunlight that would have just normally baked a roof and redeems that and puts it into electricity for hot water, etc. All of man's inventions, in reality, come back to what God teaches us in His creation and the way He creates things. Because of who He is, the Redeemer, everything that He touches redeems. You see, like the solar panels, if you take a look at its predecessor, which are plants and trees that do exactly the same, God already put it into motion. Leaves redeem sunlight by converting the sunlight's energy into chemical forms. And not only does it keep the tree healthy, but this process of conversion is called photosynthesis. It takes carbon dioxide, what you exhale, it actually absorbs it. This generated motion and this sort of process through photosynthesis converts that and gives forth, takes away something that would be lethal if that's all we breathe, takes carbon dioxide, redeems it, and gives what? Pure oxygen, sustaining life. What would have taken life, it redeems it, and now it gives. You see, here's how this photosynthesis process takes place. The process of photosynthesis converts CO2 into an organic material by reducing this gas into carbohydrates and sugars. Now, electrons for this reduction reaction is then converted into oxygen and protons, and the pigments of this chloroplast found in chlorophyll and carotenoids absorb red and blue and reflect green in the primary color of spectrum. That's why it's you see plants as green. Now, just thought you'd like to know that. So if you take out a piece of paper, we're going to have a quiz. But basically, what I'm saying is this. What am I saying? I have no idea. Oh, I got it. All right, here it is. That the DNA of trees and plants, because of the way God created it, it redeems. Because that's the Creator's fingerprints. It'll always be that which will redeem something that would have been lethal, carbon dioxide, and redeems it or converts it into something of life, pure oxygen. You see, redeeming is God's MO when He creates things. I mean, take a look at the atmosphere and air, how we get water. God does a process of redemption. I mean, in everything He creates, there's a part of His character of redemption. You look at a mud puddle now, just bless you, a mud puddle, and there is just lethal bacteria, and you have mosquito larvae. It's just filthy mud puddle. Now, you're going to drink that in just a second, but watch this. The sun evaporates the water, and it separates the lethal bacteria and the larva and all of the junk and all of the poisons in it. It separates it by taking that water and turning it into like a gas. It then evaporates. It then, during this redemptive process, takes it up, and at a certain atmospheric height, what it does is it collects all of this, and we see the result as clouds. Basically, all it is a collection of the moisture that has been separated. Now, it then comes up against a mountain like the Ko'olau's, and in order, because the wind is pushing it to, eastward, leeward, well, it starts to have to rise to get over the mountains. And as it rises, the atmospheric pressure changes a little bit, causing it to precipitate. We call that precipitation what? Rain, which you catch, and it is in its purest form of water, and you can drink and sustain life. There has been a redemption, a redeeming, from that which would have been lethal to that which is life-giving. You see, when God creates things, there's that DNA of redemption because He is the Redeemer. And His fingerprints are on everything. Take a look at another example. You take an apple seed and you plant it in dirt, filthy, muddy dirt. After a while, it starts to grow its roots down and it comes into a tree. And you know what the roots do with the photosynthesis and everything? It starts to redeem dirt and minerals. And it produces for you, it redeems that for you into a luscious apple that's pure and precious and sustains life. It redeems that seems what seems to be worthless into something that is life-giving. You see, it's everything almost that God creates is like a redemption center. Do you remember when you used to go to the supermarket and get stamps for everything that you bought? And then you take these books of stamps over to the Gold Bond Redemption Center. Yeah, that was way before my time, so I'm just speaking out of history here. And you'd take it and then you would redeem it for something of greater value. Well, it's like God is creating, whether it be clouds or creation or trees, whatever. It's all, they're just miniature redemption centers taking something that would have otherwise been useless or lethal or limited, and He redeems it into something that is useful and beneficial and life-giving. That redemptive process is in our bodies. I mean, you take a look at, say, lettuce or cabbage. If left on the counter in the sun, it would soon dissolve and rot. But right before that happens, that limited window, before it rots, we take it and we put it in our little mouths. We take meat that would have, if left there, would have become rancid and rotten just a few hours or a day or so. But before that happens, we put it in our mouth and we then chew it and swallow it. And that which would have been useless and rancid within hours now is redeemed. Instead of lost, redeemed. And it now becomes health and nutrients to our muscles that gives us life and energy and breath and health. Do you see, almost everything God creates is a redeeming center, a redemption center. Why? Because God is a redeemer. That's His MO. That's His DNA. Everything He touches, He tries to redeem. Even when it comes to us, you and me, we had a window that soon our lives would have been lost. I know mine would have been. My life going its own way would have become rancid and lost and filled with lethal bacteria, or in other words, I'd be going the wrong way fast. But God, because of his love, grabbed me, that which would have gone bad, and redeemed me, converted me from what would have been bad and lost into something that has become more eternal. My life was changed by him. And now our lives become just an expression of his miracle and grace. That's true with me. If it weren't for God's redeeming grace, I know I would still be lost somewhere in the hills of Palo Alto Valley. And how many of you would raise a hand and say, I'm so glad God redeemed my life as well? Yeah. You see, God is a redeemer. We see that through the testimonies of lives that were on a crash course to nowhere. But against all odds, God redeems them, changes their direction, the direction of their life. That's why Isaiah 62 says this, and I will call them a holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Isn't that great? How did he do that? Galatians 3:13 says, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse. When he hung on the cross, he took upon himself our wrongdoings. He took our faults. And because of his heart, we were redeemed. He took our faults, our mistakes, our blunders, and what happened? The cross redeemed it, and we became people of eternal quality. Do you see? That's just God's MO. That's his DNA. Everything he touches. Now, I want to change gears and use all of that into this next point, and that is this. God created us in his image, which means the very DNA that he had was transferred to you in his image, the image of a redeemer. And he says, now represent me well. I'm going to give you this image, the image of God, the heart of a redeemer. Someone that has been given something and he entrusts that to you. He entrusts his image to you. And he entrusts to us to take what he gives to us so that when it touches our lives, somehow it's redeemed. We don't let it expire or rot or go bad. There's a tendency, a desire in us to redeem. And God is saying, I'm going to give you the image of the Creator. He's created us in his image. Now he says, my DNA gets to be yours. Now I want you to steward the image that I'm going to give to you. This is my heart now. This is everything I touch. This is a redeeming kind of thing. Now I'm going to entrust to you my image. Will you steward it well? You see, he trusts us with his heart, his image, his DNA. How are you stewarding that? You can squander it, you can wreck it, or you can steward it. It's a privilege. Just like yesterday, my son Aaron wanted to ride my motorcycle, so I took my keys and I said, son, steward this well. You see, the same thing is true. God gives us his image and he says, steward it well. Now, we were created in his image. And so we are to be like him in every way. That this art of redemption gets to be flowing through our veins. Now, not only as people who have been redeemed, but people who redeem things. You say, well, what do you mean, redeem things? Let me explain it this way. Each day, you're going to be presented with things or problems or challenges that you would rather just brush aside. Problems that you'd rather not deal with. But to take what would be seen as problems and challenges, dirt, situations that would only prove to be useless or lethal if left alone, a broken relationship that'll get infected. But instead of just brushing it aside, that Redeemer's image that he's given to you to steward, then we begin to see this as, Lord, what can we do to redeem this for you? Instead of it getting worse and worse and worse, Lord, how can we turn this around in some way and convert it into something that'll give you glory and delight? And when that kind of process starts to be realized in us, then the image of God is starting to be seen and realized. You see, you're going to be presented with problems in your marriage, in your finances, in a relationship at work. But instead of throwing the person away or dumping the relationship and moving on, remember in whose image you were created. Steward it well. So instead of just saying, well, forget that. Instead, listen, let his image in you out. And be a redemption center. Because you see, he is the Redeemer, capital R. We are in his image. We too are to be Redeemers, small r. Small r. He is the Redeemer, big R. But we are in his image as Redeemers, small r. Which means when we're faced with problems, you can either steward it in such a way that it becomes redeemed into something wonderful, to ask God for wisdom, patience, counsel, etc., insight, and to see it redeemed, just like he did with our lives. When we presented our lives as a problem before God, he didn't say, oh, no, get out of here. You're hopeless. No, because he embraced us, something happened in redemption. On the cross, he took our wrongdoings, and redemption was the result. And now God says, I'm going to entrust to you my image. What are you going to do when these things crop up? The image of a Redeemer, the Redeemer in you and me, will no in greater way be seen than when you're presented with problems. What are you going to do with them? See, in the kingdom of God, there's going to be problems. In fact, one of the most universal elements that I find common to all growing churches is problems. Why? Because it's filled with fallen people. I mean, look around. We're all fallen people. The ones on the left or right might be more fallen than you are, but we're all fallen people. And because we're all fallen creatures, God is redeeming us. Now, listen, we may be redeemed, but we're not necessarily perfect. How many of you would agree? Yeah, I'm glad we're redeemed, not perfect. We're converted, but not faultless. And that's seen all the time. I mean, even among Christians. I mean, just 3 days ago, a lady, I was in a meeting, she came behind me and she tapped me on the shoulder. And I turned around, she was kind of crouching down, and I said, yes. She said, could you tell the people with New Hope bumper stickers to watch how they drive? I said, well, what do you mean? Well, one of them about cut me off the other day. And then she makes this blatant generalization. They're some of the worst drivers I've ever seen in my life. Well, the first thing I did was to make sure that that car that cut her off wasn't a four-door green Honda. When she assured me that it wasn't, then I moved on. But just to calm her nerves, I told her that I would say something to those who have New Hope bumper stickers. So, to those of you that have New Hope bumper stickers, when you change lanes, please use two signals. Number one, turning signal. That alerts the people that you're going to change lanes. Number two, when you do change lanes, especially in crowded situations, use a second signal, which is a thank you signal in the mirror. Just wave at them and they'll see you. That really helps. That's appropriate. That's appropriate. Now, should you mistakenly come in a little too tight, that wave signal is still appropriate because you're just acknowledging your error. But when they beep their horn at you and you appropriately give the wave, make sure that you extend all five fingers. No less than five is appropriate. I can see you guys, yeah, I know. But in the church, there's going to be problems. But you know, God is looking because of his redeeming kind of heart. God is looking for those who will steward not just his blessings, but you see, where the Redeemer's image really is seen the most or seen as compromised the most will not be in the blessings, stewarding God's blessings, but in stewarding God's problems. No, not God's problems. He doesn't have problems, but his children do. So he calls it his problems because we're his children. So God has problems that he wants people to redeem, because that's his image that he gives to you. And he says, steward this image now, because there's going to be a lot of problems in the body of Christ. And I'm going to look for those who will steward the problems with my image and redeem it into something miraculous and precious. And don't let these people or situations get lost or lethal. You see, it's sort of like there's two lines in heaven. And when God says, this is my blessings line. Oh, people just line up for blessings. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And they're just pushing each other. Bless me, bless me. We all want God's blessing. God, God. We start lobbying for God's blessings. Oh, God, give me a blessing. Maybe two, maybe three. Oh, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Glory to God, glory to God. Bless me, bless me. And God, if you bless me, well, God, I'll go back to church. If you bless me, oh, God, I'll stop beating my wife and beating my kids and kicking my dog. God, I promise, I promise. And God, if you give me like a big house, I promise I'll use it like for a Bible study group. Once a year. And oh God, if you give me a nice car, I'll pick somebody up on the way to church. Oh God, if you just give me a nice car. And God, if you help me win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, well, I'll give some of that money for the church to build a church. Oh God. And we're just vying for it. I mean, we read books on blessings. We read, you know, we have flashcards on blessings. God bless me this way, bless me right, bless me left, bless me up, bless me down, bless me, bless me, bless me. We just, man, that's the thing. But it's like God is saying, okay, all right, I understand that. But now I've got some problems here to pass out. And that line is empty. There's no takers. He said, well, Wayne, what do you mean about problems? Well, it's sort of like God has a paper and says, I've got someone here that needs some help. You see, he's got some immaturities that he has to work through. His name is Joe. And he can't quite do it on his own, but if someone will be patient with him and mentor him and disciple him, it'll take a little while, but we can turn what would have been impoverished and lost in this man that is immature with some help. He'll be quite a guy. Any takers? No takers. Okay. I have another one here. It's another problem in the kingdom, and That's someone who is a young leader, and he's really awkward, and he makes a lot of mistakes and puts both feet in his mouth sometimes and says things that embarrass people. But he really wants to change, and if someone would help him, this guy can, just this whole situation can get redeemed. Any takers? No. Okay. Let's see. Here's a disabled person that just needs attention, and this person just doesn't feel he or she is very valuable, and it's going to take a little bit of work, but we can really redeem this. And any note takers? And God has a stack of these. You see, everybody's over here in the blessing line because we want to steward God's blessings. But where the image of the Redeemer will be seen most clearly to the world is not in the blessing line, it's in the problem line. When we are willing to take that which would have been problems and redeem it by his grace, and ask God, Lord, would you work through me? You see, that's where God's redemptive heart is seen the most. But we have a tendency to shuck and jive and go around problems and cut people and just remove any type of problem. We just don't want problems. No wonder we don't see God's grace flowing, his strength being deposited and released. And we don't see the image of God in the churches as much as we could. And the people in the world say, oh, those Christians, they're not really redeemers. Because they handle problems just like I do. But God is saying, can I entrust my image to you, the image of the Redeemer? Would you be in my image, the image of the Redeemer? And you're going to be presented with problems. But ask me. And when you are willing to let the Redeemer's image in you out, then you will see that I will flood you with my grace, flood you with my resources, flood you with my power, and the people of the world will see the heart of the Redeemer in this church.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, In Our Redeemer's Image, by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, tomorrow Pastor Wayne is going to be leading the congregation of New Hope in communion. Perhaps you are shut in or you're not able to attend church regularly. You may want to be prepared to join us tomorrow in communion. Simply have some bread and juice ready and be prepared to follow along. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship Oahu. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.